This is New Home Insights, the John Burns Real Estate Consulting Podcast. I'll be your host, Dean Worley. As the title promises, we're going to bring you insights into everything housing. Latest trends, innovations, observations, and issues of the day. We'll bring in colleagues here at John Burns and also some major industry players from all across the country. This podcast is going to be quick, fun, but also hopefully make you think. So see you here every couple of weeks. Now let's get to it. Welcome to the latest episode of New Home Insights by John Burns Real Estate Consulting. I'm your host, Dean Worley. With me is a very special guest, Chris Porter. Say hi.
Hi, Dean. Thanks.
Chris is a demographer. He's our demographer and a researcher here at John Burns Consulting for quite a while, as a matter of fact. Am I right?
13 years.
Goodness. Unlucky 13. So today we're going to talk about a concept that Chris and John kind of invented and appeared in their best-selling book, Big Shifts Ahead. I'm going to give it the word best-selling there. I think that's fair. It's called Surban. So let's start with just kind of definition of that concept. Chris, what is Surban?
Sure. I don't think it's necessarily a concept that we invented, but we wanted to reterm it. I think urban planners often use the phrase mixed-use project, and quite frankly, who says who wants to say that they live in a mixed-use community?
Yeah, it's like brag.
Exactly. Yeah. So Leslie Deutsch, actually our consultant in Florida, came up with the term Surban, the idea of bringing the best of urban conveniences to traditionally suburban environments.
Conveniences in terms of the housing product, in terms of access to retail. What's the idea?
So it incorporates a number of different things. It's lifestyle, the idea that urban environments traditionally don't have great public schools, and the suburban environments do. And that's actually why you see a lot of families, once they start to have kids, they move to the suburbs really for school quality. So that's a big part of it. You've got lower crime in the suburban areas than you would have in urban areas. And, but also at the same time, in urban areas, you've got some walkability. You've got some, rideability if you've got bikes. You've got public transportation. So bringing some of those things to the suburbs in small downtown areas is really the concept that we see for this concept of Surban.
So where specifically in suburbia would you most likely see suburban, and where would it most likely work? Would it be near, like you said, walkable to retail, like a town center? Is it also a mass transit issue even in suburbia? What are the characteristics in a suburb you're looking for?
You will see this popping up around transit hubs, but I think there's an element of some of these could actually have their own public transportation, some bus services that would run. It is in the downtowns of these small suburban cities, and it's just kind of a reemergence of the city investing in the downtown of their own little city.
Yeah, so those classic big city downtown amenities that people like walkability to great retail, to entertainment venues, things like that. To the degree that they have those in a suburb, you have the chance of Surban.
Exactly.
Okay. But to the degree that is the classic, bedroom community, and they just don't have that old core downtown, even in that otherwise suburban environment, you're less likely?
Probably less likely, you're right.
How about any examples? What are some good examples of where Surban has worked and we've seen it work?
Well, right here in Irvine, California, where we're based, we've got an example that I would call the Irvine Spectrum. It would be a pretty good example of Surban. There's the element that you can shop, you can work, you can live all in the same area. You might not need a car during the week, but you're probably going to want a car on the weekends if you want to get out of town. So, that's one example. Another local example here in Orange County, the Anaheim downtown, right around Angel Stadium where the Anaheim Angels play. Sorry, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
The Anaheim Los Angeles Angels of Los Angeles.
Exactly.
In Los Angeles, I believe.
So they planned a lot of – Orange County really didn't have a downtown.
Yeah.
And so they planned a lot of residential around some retail and entertainment. So you've got the hockey arena right there. You've got the baseball stadium. The idea that you can create some walkable residential retail mix that people would – really gravitate towards.
And you've seen that occasionally folks try that in that classic mixed use community kind of environment. But going from memory here, I've seen that where they're building residential and it's next to a Home Depot slash whatever, Hobby Lobby and a few other inline, and that's not really what we're talking about for that Serban attraction.
You're right. It's not. It's
not backing on Home Depot. I mean, but the big box, I mean, that's suburban retail. And what they want, I think, is there, I don't know what's the right word, a quaintness or kind of a factor to the retail and the things that they're walkable to?
Is that? I think that's a great way to describe it. Quaint is kind of your old school, yeah. Downtown Main Street yeah. area.
Can I get a tattoo and an antique?
Exactly.
If so, yes, check and mate, you're a Serban dweller. But if all you can get is a lot of, you know, some wood and tools and things like that, maybe not so much.
I mean, one of the things I would point out, too, is when you get to the residential component of Serban, it is going to be a little bit more expensive than your, on a per square foot basis, yeah. than you would expect, like in a single family detached home on a bigger lot, because there's higher density. Yeah. But it's not going to be as expensive as if you're in a downtown, true downtown yeah. area in a major city.
That's a good segue. So are there, I mean, some hurdles to building Serban other than the locational stuff? What else would you say? Is it the cost? Is it the necessary price to make that work? What are the hurdles to building Serban?
So, consumers who can afford them love them. And the high construction costs are going to force high home prices and rents in these. But again, I come back to, it's not going to be as expensive as living in a true downtown in a big city.
Does that mean it's going to naturally appeal to somewhat more? Okay, so if you think about it, it's kind of a barbell demographic to some extent, right? The urban product might appeal to younger couples, even singles, because it's maybe not as family friendly, even though the schools and the environment are. And then also that kind of low maintenance living, maybe that appeals to empty nesters, move down, dual income, no kids kind of buyers, maybe even retirees if you can have elevator service or something like that. Do you see it being that? And therefore, is it because it's a little more higher price on a per square foot basis, is it kind of, cut out the younger couples and trend towards an older buyer profile or no?
So that's a great point. We actually do see exactly what you're talking about, that sort of barbell. And in fact, we do a consumer survey every couple of years where we ask consumers what they're looking for in their next home. And we're able to segment it by age group and by lifestyle. So we did ask this question in our last survey that just came out earlier this year. And what we found is this idea of a suburban location, only about 37% of households with kids found this appealing. I mean, they probably want a yard for their kids. And this concept of suburban really doesn't necessarily offer that.
What if their kids are really lazy and they know that and they don't need a backyard and they don't like dogs?
They just stay inside and play video games.
I mean, give them a Switch and they're good to go. Would that work?
We didn't ask that specific question.
You didn't get that. Okay.
But when we asked the younger households who didn't have kids, 61% said this is appealing to them.
Wow.
And then we look at the older households, empty nesters, your retirees, yeah. 55% of them told us that this is something that's appealing to them. So I think you're right in that there's sort of this barbell effect that it's appealing to the younger households and to the older households. If you've got kids, there may be a small segment of it that it'll appeal to, but it's not the majority.
Yeah. And in true, I definitely noticed this in doing our feasibility studies, in true urban environments where it does get very expensive, it almost always skews older than often even that developer or builder was expecting, because it's just pricing out those relatively. And some areas, of course, like San Jose, they have a lot of young, affluent folks. But for the most part, it gets pretty pricey in the true urban environment. So maybe this is a way to get some more younger buyers into this kind of product, who want that product in a suburban, cheaper environment.
That's a great point. You know, one of the things that we saw over the last decade was really this pop in the urban living. And a lot of that was actually just, it was demographic driven. You had a large population of people in their 20s, and they are the ones who tend to live more urban. You also had a huge growth in the empty nester population, and they, or a certain portion of them, will tend to live urban as well. I think as those groups start to think about affordability, as they start to think about eventually growing their families and wanting to move to the suburbs, this is a nice hybrid, a nice transition for them as they're moving from the cities into the suburbs.
So it's not the classic just, entry level first move up. It's more of a product transition for them. And then they might, their next move for the younger folks buying suburban, their next move might be more suburban.
Classic. Exactly. It could be.
Any other hurdles though? These are often going to be effectively infill sites, aren't they? And that can sometimes be a problem getting that entitled or getting that done? Are planners, have we found that planning departments are willing to look at this? I mean, I know density has become a good thing for most planning departments. Any other kind of hurdles like that we're finding?
I think planning departments are looking at it for the very reason you pointed out, is for density. But I think there's also, at least in a couple instances that I can think of, maybe some pushback by residents as well. You know, we don't fully expect that these suburban environments are going to be all owner-occupied residences. There is going to be some renters in there, and there is some perception that, you know, that's a different resident in their community.
Is it
that a renter, you know, the idea of bringing more renters in the community, does that bring my property values down? Does that create some more traffic, that sort of thing? And so there's been some pushback, I would say, by some residents, long-term residents of these cities.
Kind of a NIMBY, the classic NIMBY thing. Is it density too, you think?
Density could also play into that as well.
They don't like that congestion. I remember back in years ago, Newport Beach, a very pretty conservative town and very affluent town here in Orange County, they voted mostly, there was a lot of slow growth initiatives. It was mostly based, or at least argued, as a congestion issue, not the classic kind of environmental whatever slow growth argument, but it was just pure congestion.
Sure.
So I can see that because suburban is by necessity more dense than classic suburban product. Anything else? How do builders, developers, is this catching on? Have you got any feedback from those kinds of folks in terms of acceptance of this concept?
Yeah, and I think what's been really interesting as we watch this pop up, I mean, it is some prime real estate that is becoming available. As we look at some malls that are closing down or just reuse of properties that maybe have been abandoned, it's a great way to get those infill sites in suburban areas that really are prime real estate.
Yeah.
And so I think that is appealing to the builders.
Yeah. And in this case, it's kind of a win-win because it gets them a density that builds that sort of gross revenue from that site than having 5 or 6,000 square foot traditional lots might do in these infill reuse kinds of sites.
Exactly.
Where does suburban not fit even within suburbia? I mean, do you want it to be the retail to be real, to be authentic, to be, or could it, I mentioned kind of flippantly, you know, building next to a Home Depot, whatever. I mean, could that work?
It could. I think there are some people who, or there's some areas where it may not work if you just plop a bunch of big box stores in there and put some houses up and call it a community. I think people want to feel the authenticity of it. Now, you may not be able to get just the traditional Main Street look and feel that you're going for, but I think that that people do want it to feel like a community.
Yeah.
Rather than just another strip mall or another.
But you're pretty much, I would call you, you're pretty big on suburban, right?
I think it is really the blending of urban and in the suburbs is sort of the wave of the future as we're moving forward.
How gung-ho are you? Would it work, for instance, in like a Mad Max post-apocalyptic hellscape kind of environment? Would you still be in favor of suburban there? I'm going to test your limits.
I think
here.
There's going to be a certain population that's going to appeal to.
So if you can get the gas to get out to that suburban environment, you're going to go suburban in the Mad Max world. Is that what you're saying? Would Mad Max live in a suburban house? Yes or no? Go.
I think you're putting words in my mouth.
Well, anything else you want to say about suburban? Let's end with this. What do you see here in the next 5-10 years? Do you see folks getting on board and an expansion of suburban?
You know, I think as we look at how the real estate environment is going to be changing over the next, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years, I wonder about like driverless cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As if people don't have to own a car and they can just have someone pick them up or have a vehicle pick them up by themselves, would that drive some of this this development? And would prime real estate that's currently being used for parking lots, that's being used for auto dealerships, that's being used for gas stations, would some of that disappear? And we could potentially turn those into these mixed use or suburban environments where you've got that mix of retail, of residential, And jobs too. And that's, you know, one of the other things that I don't think we've talked about a lot too, is that there is a potential to have jobs there. So you could literally walk, shop, work, and live all in the same environment. And like I said, not really even need a car necessarily during the week.
You know, it could even work the other way though, couldn't it? Where that is to say, if one of the draws is being around urban or urban-like amenities, we now live in the world of Uber and Lyft and driverless cars. It would, if someone wants to live in a true suburban product and environment, it makes it much easier to go into the true urban environment. In other words, it's easier to go do things in downtown cores areas in the future and now than it was years ago, and still living in the suburbs, right?
True. You can say the same for rural living, though, too. So that driverless cars would make it easier to live in truly rural areas.
Yeah.
If you're not having to do that hour and a half or 2 hour drive into the job centers or into where the entertainment is, if you don't have to do that driving yourself, if a car could do it for you. But we really haven't seen rural coming back. Rural continues to shrink as a percentage of growth in the U.S.
But suburbia is closer and more accessible to those. In other words, what I'm saying, I guess, is that I'm living in the suburban house out in the suburbs because I'm near these great urban amenities. I can go to the real thing, the real core downtown urban amenities, so much easier than I used to. And that I don't think that holds true for rural areas because they're just too far out.
True.
That Uber drive or whatever is more realistic from a suburban environment than it is from a rural environment.
True. You're probably still going to have to deal with traffic, but it's not going to be...
But someone else is driving.
You driving. Someone else
you're
is
on your
that.
Tablet. Whatever, figuring out where you're going to meet, what pub, what fantastic brew pub you're going to. So, okay, anything else you want to talk, want to mention about suburban?
You know, one of the things I was thinking about is, I mean, you're in Northern California. Some examples that you can think of in Northern California where maybe this is being played out.
There's actually a couple of good ones. Santana Row, in fact, you guys mentioned it in your book, in the book that you and John wrote, in San Jose. Is a roughly suburban environment. It's a little bit more. It's funny you say that because I used to use the phrase in a different way, suburban urban. And what I meant was those kind of transition areas that they're not really suburban, but they're not really urban yet either. And there are lots of areas in the Bay Area where that's true. The whole, almost the entire San Mateo County and Santa Row kind of fits that. You guys, and I was a sucker saying all those syllables. You guys shorten it to just suburban ways, but the concept is very different. The other one is in Larkspur, which is a very kind of, that is a true suburban environment up in Northern California in Marin County. And that's where the new home company built some pretty dense urban stuff. It flats, very small lot detached in what's otherwise a very suburban environment. And it was a huge success. And it wasn't super walkable either. So there might be some opportunity for what we think of as suburban product that's not necessarily has to be walkable. It's just to some extent you like living in a suburban environment, but you want that low maintenance product. I mean, there's opportunity for that too.
Sure. You asked if there's anything else that I wanted to mention. I mean, one of the things we've been excited about is to see how people are starting to use the word suburban.
And oh yeah.
Yeah, we coined it and
trademark.
We actually did put a trademark on it. But we said,
should we have been saying suburban TM this entire time?
No.
Okay.
We said anybody is welcome to use the term, but we just wanted to trademark it. But we are seeing it used, and actually, there's some communities and builders out there who are using it in some of their marketing materials as a way of describing the communities.
I bet they're not using three-peat. They're going to pay Phil Jackson for that. So if you can get Phil Jackson money out of this, you should probably do it.
So we do think it's a term that's starting to catch on, and I think once you start explaining it to people, it does ring a bell.
It does. It makes resonates. Innate sense. Absolutely. Yeah. It does. Like yeah. That's like you said earlier, it's been done before. Absolutely. But I think we will see a lot more of it, just for that aging demographic. That's true throughout the country. To the extent you can make it friendly, the product to those older buyers, I think you have a great, because it's so low maintenance. It can be really good product. And not everyone wants to live in a true urban environment, even if they don't have kids that go to school.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Chris. Let's do a quick recap. Our topic today was suburban, the concept of these relatively more urban, denser kind of housing product in more suburban areas. It's probably best done in a kind of a town center or something where there's some walkable, cool or quaint retail or venues, entertainment venues, things like that, as opposed to big box kind of stuff. Some hurdles. The biggest hurdle I heard you say was kind of that NIMBYism, where some of the locals might not get it, are maybe a little worried about who's going to move in into that suburban environment. And then we, and then in terms of going forward, I think we agree it's something that's here to stay, and it's not going to be a bread and butter product in the housing market, but it'll be a key one that I think grows for quite a while.
I think you're right.
Right on. All right. Well, that was the latest episode of New Home Insights with John Burns Real Estate Consulting. Find us on our website, realestateconsulting.com. Great name for a website, by the way. And also on Twitter, which is at JBREC, J-B-R-E-C. We will tweet you. We'll hopefully, as you're looking at it right now, you'll see a tweet about Serban. All right?
That's right.
See you later. Next time.
Thanks, Dean.